comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Well, tomorrow is an important day here at KSS, and Saturday is too. Tomorrow's an important day because that's the day we begin sending out this week's newsletter called the K-Files. And I want to be sure that you are getting it. And if you're not getting it, you need to. It's free. There's no reason for you not to subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, but most people stay with us forever. To subscribe, just get over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says K-Files. And subscribe. I'd only ask one question, and that's your email address. Now, sometimes people say, well, why do you, we send out this email immediately that's got a link in it that you have to click in order to activate your subscription. And I have had people send me email and ask, well, why do you do that? Obviously, I want it or I wouldn't have subscribed. Yeah, but what if Joe Nutcase down the street is ticked off with you, and he goes on and subscribes you to a bunch of newsletters on a bunch of sites using your email address and stuff you didn't even want. So what happens is whenever you put your email address in, we send you one email. And it says you or someone using your email, your email address, has subscribed to the K-Files. If this is you and you wish to subscribe, click this link to activate your subscription. So just do that and then you'll get the K-Files. Be sure that you click that link and be sure you get over there and subscribe, all right? Saturday is an important day as well here at KSS because on the first Saturday of every month, I go hang out in the chat room for a couple of hours at showtime. So whatever time it is right now, that's what time I will be in the chat room. So all around the world, whatever time it is right at this minute in your time zone, that's when I'll be in the chat room for a couple of hours. It's in our members community, and it's really easy to become a member, and it's a really smart thing to do. All you have to do is go over to the website, click where it says join, and just follow the instructions, and you're there. It costs $7.50 a month. Now, for $7.50, that's 25 cents a day. $7.50 a month, you get tons and tons of additional benefit features, things for you to enjoy, great information. We have forums. We have chat. We have you get your own blog page. You get your own friends page. You get your own photo album to upload photos to and share with your friends. All right in our members community. Plus, you get to watch the show live every night. And if you happen to miss watching it live, you can watch it for the next 24 hours because we upload it. If you're not a member, fix it tonight. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are going to have some fun here tonight, some interesting times. Once each week, we try to do an open line live show. Now, you know, some of those are BYOT, and that's what this one is, BYOT. That means bring your own topic. Some of them, it's open line, but I want us to stay on a particular topic, you know, and I present the topic and we discuss that topic. Well, we can do that on BYOT. I mean, if you want to talk about what I bring to the table, certainly we can talk about it, but we can talk about whatever topic you wish to discuss within our genre. And that's always interesting because people have such interesting thoughts. And lots of times people bring topics to the table that I haven't heard of. I haven't read about it. I haven't seen it. You know, there's 24 hours in a day, and I work 20 of them. And a big portion of that is reading, and a big portion of that is watching videos that people have sent to me or looking at photographs that people have sent to me. But in that 20 hours, I also have to do video editing, and I have to do audio editing, and I have to make telephone calls, and sometimes conference call meetings, and, you know, it's a busy work day. So there's no possibility that, even though I'm working 20 hours, there's no possibility that I can possibly read and know about everything that's going on in our genre. So it's very refreshing to me when we have BYOT and someone brings a topic to the table that is something I haven't read about, or it's a development I didn't know about. And you can rest assured there are lots of people in the audience who also did not know about that. So I always enjoy that. But we're going to do something a little bit different tonight in that I'm going to start off not just with topics, but with three emails. And my response to these emails, these are emails I've gotten within the past 24 hours. Three emails, and I'll respond to these emails, and one of them will be a topic that we sort of go off on, and I've got some video that I'll be showing and talking about. All right, so the first one is from James F. out in California. And he says, Kevin, thank you for playing country music last night. I am not the one who, I'm sorry, he's not in California. He says he's in Oregon. I'm not the one who requested it, but I do live in Oregon. Yes, we like country music in Oregon too. So I had made the statement last night, just an offhand statement, that I'd gotten a request to start playing country music again once in a while during the breaks. And so last night I did that. I played country music during the breaks. And that request had come from someone who lives in Oregon, and just kind of, you know, an offhand, off-the-cuff statement, I said, well, that's interesting. I didn't know people in Oregon liked country music. So James out in Oregon says he lives in Oregon, and yes, we like country music in Oregon too. Well, James, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I like country music as well. My favorite music is hard rock, but I like classical music. I even like religious music. I like music, any kind of music, as long as it's done really well. And so we tried to play country music that's done really well, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. All right, Tina in Canada says, Mr. Smith. Nope, we're going to save that one. We'll do that one next. Tina, just hang on. We're going to get to you. This is Patty in Patty J in Pennsylvania. Hi, Kevin. I heard through the grapevine that you once interviewed a real vampire on the show. Is that true? And is there any chance you might do so again? Yes, as a matter of fact, I did, Patty, twice. The first time was in 2001. I think the next time was in 2000 and late 2002, maybe 2003. And it was the same person both times. So yes, it is true. I interviewed a real vampire on this show. Is there any chance you might do so again? She asked. Well, I'm not going to say never, but let me tell you something about that. It took me the better part of a year to get, first of all, to find a real vampire and to convince that person to come on the show. They don't like publicity. The real ones, they don't like publicity. And, it took some doing to convince this person that I was serious and that I was not going to make some, kind of ham-fisted mess of this thing, that I was serious. I wanted to hear their story and from their point of view. And so, will I do it again? Well, maybe. What happens is when you put the word out that you're looking for a real vampire to be a guest on the show, you get a whole lot of people volunteering, and these are people who put in fake teeth and all kinds of makeup and, the gothic dress, and they're part of what's called the vampire culture. But it's not the real thing. It's very, very difficult to find the real thing. And yes, they do exist. And yes, I did interview one. And would I interview one again? Well, yeah, if it fell in my lap. But I really do not have the time that it took back then to find and secure a real vampire as a guest on the show. So, if it just falls in my lap, sure. I've also, although Patty did not ask about this, I have also interviewed a werewolf, two werewolves. And some of you are sitting out there going, yeah, right. Well, let me tell you, when I interviewed these werewolves, they were on the show together. And we had a government scientist that called in and issued them the invitation to help our government, to go to work in DARPA and help our government. And one was just not interested. And the other one said, well, maybe. And so a few days later, that government scientist called me and told me, he said, look, we checked out this kid, and he's the real deal. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, he is the real deal. So, am I saying that I know that they exist for real werewolves? No, I don't know it for real, for sure, but I do know that that situation happened, and who am I to say? The government scientist said we checked out this kid and he's for real. So I guess I can say I have interviewed a real werewolf on this show. All right, and would I do that again? Same thing applies. The real ones, the ones that everybody says are real, you don't get them to come out in public too easy. All right, Tina, on to yours now. Tina D. in Canada. Mr. Smith, you set off quite a discussion of reality on your Facebook wall today. I'm curious, could you elaborate a bit more? And the reason I held that one till now is because that introduces what I'm going to throw on the table here. Yeah. What happened is I put a post on Facebook. I can't remember it word for word, but basically I said what you've heard me say here a million times, and that is you don't create your own reality. Reality exists, and just because you believe something is true doesn't make it true. And it, just because you disbelieve something, if it is true and you disbelieve it, that doesn't make it untrue. It is what it is. And that set off a discussion, and somebody posted on the wall that, yeah, but everybody has their own reality. And I responded, no, you don't. There's only one reality. Everyone has their own perception of that reality and their own experience with that reality, but there's just one reality. So to elaborate on that, let me use an example, Tina. Let's say that there is a gigantic African elephant out in your front yard. Now, why, I don't know, but there he is. He's right out there in your front yard. Huge animal. So you walk out and you're looking at, we'll say, the right side of this elephant. You're facing, he's standing sideways to you. So you're facing and looking at that elephant. You're not seeing reality. You're seeing part of reality. Because that elephant has a front to his head, and he's got a back to his behind, and you're looking at his right side. He's got a left side over on the other side that you can't see. Very, very seldom are we able to perceive all of reality. I don't think anybody ever really can perceive all of reality, because reality itself is the cosmos. So there's a whole lot of reality you cannot personally perceive, and you don't create it. It's there. But you have your own perception of it, and you have your own experience with it based on that perception. But you don't create your own reality. I hear that all the time, especially in our genre. And I'm going to tell you something. That is one of the most dangerous philosophies in existence. You do not create your own reality. I can prove that to you. Now, let's just say that there are three people standing right on the highway. You know, a highway where cars travel. And these three people are strung out across the highway. There's one in the left lane, one in the right, and one standing right in the middle. Now, over the top of the hill, just, you know, as it crests over the top of the hill, here comes a gigantic Mack truck, and it's pulling a wide load, and pretty much takes up the whole highway. That happens sometimes, you know. So here it comes, headed right for these three people. Now, one of these people says, I don't believe it's there. The other person, another of the three, says, oh, I believe it's there, but I believe that I have superhuman powers, and I'm going to make it stop. The third one says, I believe it's there, and I believe I'm going to get off the road. So he gets off the road. What do you think happens to the other two? One doesn't believe it's there. One believes he has superhuman powers, and he's going to make it stop. What do you think happens to them? Reality. See, it doesn't matter how strongly you believe something. If it is not real, then it is not real. Period. You don't create your own reality. If you disbelieve something, no matter, you know, you disbelieve something that is real, and you say, I don't believe that's real. Like the guy that said, I don't believe that's real. I don't believe it's coming, that's really a truck coming over the hill for me. No matter how much you don't believe it, you're still going to be dead. You will be a greasy spot on the road. You will be real. So, that's my elaboration of it. Reality stands out there and stares us in the face and dares us to discover it. And that's what life, in my opinion, is all about. It's all about discovering, not new realities, but new discoveries of more reality. How about that? Tina, I hope that clears that up for you. Now, how does that play into what we're doing here at the Kevin Smith Show and the things that we talk about here? Well, it plays a huge role in what we do here. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we deal with some of the most out there information that any show deals with. I mean, come on, I've already talked to you about that. I did interview a real vampire 2 times. Yes, I did interview a werewolf, apparently a real one, and twice on that one too. Yeah, I did. That's pretty much out there on the front bumper, don't you think? And we talk about, you know, the possibility of life out there in the universe. We talk about the possibility of life continuing beyond physical life, life after life. And we talk about, you know, people who have communications with, some people call them ghosts, spirits, whatever. We talk about interdimensional deities or interdimensional entities. We talk about all those things, not to promote that they are real, but to examine the evidence to see what is real. So let's go back to your elephant. Your elephant in the front yard. What if you're standing there looking at the right side of the elephant and someone starts telling you, did you know that on the other side of that elephant there's a steering wheel and you can drive the elephant that way? Well, did you know that kind of nonsense happens every single day in our genre of the world of the strange and unexplained? Every single day somebody comes up with some wild-eyed theory like that, and people believe it. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back to reality in just a moment.
Smith Show, www.kevinsmithshow.com. Course set for fantastic, Captain. Oh my.
You don't know why. All kinds of weird stuff happening. Anyway, software didn't play all of what it was supposed to play, but that's okay. We're back. That's a reality. All right, let's talk about reality. Let's talk about real reality. There's only one kind of reality. It's real, and it's a singularity. There are not many, many, many realities. There are many, many, many perceptions of a gigantic reality. Reality is the cosmos. It's everything that really is. And you cannot, by imagination, create reality. Now, some of the discussion about this, people say, well, yeah, but how can you know what is reality? Well, you know, that's one of the definitions, isn't it, of insanity. One form of insanity is not being able to distinguish between reality and imagination, between reality and fiction. Well, we have been programmed. We've been programmed by media. We've been programmed by movies, by books, by even things that are taught in schools, that everything is relative. Nothing is absolute. Well, go stand in front of that Mack truck and see if you relatively hurt or absolutely hurt. Go stand in front of it and see what your imagination does in the face of reality. Reality exists, and absolutes exist. Now, the problem is that when you have a society where you have people, the majority, believing that absolutes exist, the problem that you run into is everybody wants to make up their own absolutes. So you have, for instance, with religion, you got one group that says absolutely it's a sin to drink alcohol, and another group that says it's absolutely not a sin to drink alcohol. It's okay, but it's absolutely a sin to get drunk. So you have people making up absolutes. I think that's what's meant by when you know the truth, you're free. And it is possible for us to know. But it's so much easier to not think, you see. It's so much easier, and it's so much more fun just to ride on the roller coaster. In order to know what is reality, you actually have to think. You have to burn a little energy for your gray cells and think. Now, I said that we have people coming up with wild theories in our genre every single day. And then you got a bunch of people that buy it. Now, one of the wild theories that has been floating around out there is that there's going to be this massive, worldwide massive arrest of the evil cabal. And I've told you, there is no possibility that's going to happen. Well, the date came and went, and they didn't get arrested, did they? And so those people put out a reason for that, and it's coming up. It's just around the corner. I will tell you again, there's no possibility that's going to happen. Provided that there is this evil cabal that everybody has talked about, and I don't doubt it, but provided it exists, they are in control of the people who have to do the arresting. I can assure you, if that scenario exists, that this evil cabal is running the world, I can assure you they are in charge of the people who do the arresting. There will be no mass arrests. It ain't happening. That's bad English, but that's good preaching. Now, we also have it. One of the biggest tools for good and evil in every field, in every endeavor, is the internet. And I am 100% in favor of the internet being free. By free, I don't mean you don't have to pay for it. I mean, I want a free flow of information. And that means that we will always have to deal with disinformation and misinformation and people with psychotic conditions who have a keyboard and an internet connection. We're always going to have to deal with that. I would rather deal with that than deal with being censored and monitored by some government. And as you know, the United Nations, they want to be that government. They want to control the internet, and we have people in our government and in every government in the alleged free world who are working overtime right now to make that happen. Well, I want freedom. I will deal with the crap. I want freedom on the internet. But what that means is that into the stream of information that we're all trying to get, into that stream is introduced disinformation and misinformation and the rantings of psychotics. And we have to weed through it. And how do you do that? Well, you have to think. How do you sort out what is real and what is not? Well, words have meanings, words have definitions, and if somebody says A, then they said A. And unless they come back and say, look, I misspoke, I didn't mean to say A, I meant to say A minus. Unless they do that, then it's A. That's what they said. So videos hit YouTube, and lots of you go to YouTube. I go to YouTube almost every day. And we see these videos about UFOs, about ghosts, about Bigfoot. I saw a Bigfoot video the other day. It's absolute proof, clearest video ever of Bigfoot sighting. I watched it, and I'm telling you, a third grader could tell that's some guy in a monkey suit. I mean, it really was. You know, there's no way that was a Bigfoot. That was a human in a suit. It looked and moved like a regular human. It was not big, no bigger than I am. I'm not little, but I mean, you know, I'm certainly not Bigfoot. I'm 6'1". And, you know, Bigfoot is like 8 feet, 9 feet, tall. But it didn't move like an animal. It moved entirely like a human. And, its body proportions were like a human. And that isn't what the body of evidence says about Bigfoot. We see videos of UFOs, and you know I'm very interested in UFOs, and I watch lots and lots of videos of UFOs, and sometimes I share those here on the show, and I'll tell you, you know, I don't know, man, if this is genuine, this is fantastic, but I don't know. I tell you the truth about it. I don't promote it as real. But I put it out there so you can respond to it and make your observations about it. And we can decide together. That's how we do this. So I'm going to give you a little exercise tonight. This is all using Tina from Canada, using her email as a springboard. I'm going to give you a little bit of an exercise here tonight in what I'm talking about. Now, Mars Curiosity, that's the latest mission, and Mars Curiosity took some pictures that almost immediately, you know, we all started looking to see, you know, is there anything in there that's anomalous? And I did a show where I showed you something that I said, now that's a long way away and we can't really tell, but it has the appearance of a roadway and a collapsed bridge. You remember that? Okay, now, am I saying that's what it is? No, I am not. I'm just looking at the picture with you and saying, well, that's curious. Look at that. I wonder what that is. What do you think? What do you think that looks like? And I even said in the show, didn't I? I hope they take Curiosity over there. I hope they roll right up to it and get some good close-ups of it so we can see what this is. And then we'll know. Now, you know, if it is engineering and construction in ruins, if that's what, then that's what it is. If it turns out that as it rolls closer, we can see it's all just natural formation, then that's what it is. Cool. No problem. Reality is reality. It's whatever it is, it is. Not a problem. Okay, now, I'm very interested in Mars, and I'm very interested in whatever these rovers are seeing. You know, the Opportunity rover's still going, and now we've got Curiosity going up there. And Curiosity is the new kid on the block, so we're all really interested in whatever it is it's going to see. It's in a whole different location than Opportunity. You know those glass tubes, the things that look like glass tubes on Mars? Well, did you know that Curiosity sat down right at the base of one? Right at the foot of one. There's a mountain kind of thing in front of Curiosity, and right around on the backside of that is one of those tubes. That's pretty interesting, don't you think? A play on words, that's pretty curious, don't you think? Well, we'll see. I think it'll be a good thing for it to roll right up to one of these glass tubes and let us see what is it. Then we don't have to speculate anymore. Roll right up to it. Drill into it. Shoot your laser into it and do spectrometry and whatever you got to do, but do it and then we'll know. That's a good thing. Knowing is always a good thing. It's shooting pictures around Gale Crater, and this video just showed up on YouTube. Now, it's a video showing what we've seen before. It's a video showing, you know, this is Curiosity's black and white picture of Gale Crater. But if you watch this video very carefully, you will see what appears to be a UFO in the sky. It's like a white orb, and this white orb comes from the left side to the center of the picture, and it flashes a couple of times, and then it flies away, and I mean, this is pretty fascinating. And so a lot of people are really, really, really getting keyed up about this video. Well, I found it fascinating when I saw it, but I want to know, is this for real? I can guarantee you that there are some radio hosts that took this video and went on the air with it tonight, and they're promoting that here's the truth. Well, we're going to find out what is the truth. We'll be back. Well, it all worked right that time. Another experience of reality. That's good. All right. So we're talking about this UFO thing. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, by the way. And we're talking about sorting through things and paying attention to detail. Because when you pay attention to detail, you can pretty well sort out whether something's real or if it's imaginary. And it's important to do that. If you can't do that, at best, you will always be in intellectual chaos. At worst, you'll have kind of a form of insanity. So it's very important to be able to do this. And we got a lot of practice here in our genre of information. So we looked at this video. I described it for those who are listening, those who are watching. You saw it. And this video shows a shot from Curiosity. It shows a UFO of some type, white light, going from the left side of the picture over to the middle, blinks slowly twice, and then moves away from Curiosity and disappears out of sight. So is this real? Well, if you read the notes at YouTube, it's the person who posted it said, that he or she downloaded it from NASA.gov. It was only up there for a few minutes and then they took it down. Okay, now that might be true. It might not be true. I don't know. I do not know if that part of the story is true, and I have no way to verify that. But what I do have is the video, and I can take a look at it, and I can look for clues in this video to tell me if this is real or if it's not. Is this reality or is this a hoax? So let's take a look at an extreme zoom of this object. Now, for those who are watching, I'll describe it for those who are listening. For those who are watching, you're about to see this video extremely zoomed in on the UFO. And what you're going to see is that I have colored it. It'll start off black and white, and then it'll switch to sepia. I colored it to give more contrast between the UFO and the objects around it and behind it, the scenery around it and behind it. Now, what you're going to see is very, very interesting. I'll show it to you, and then you tell me if you see that. You tell me if you see anything. Now, here it is coming up in sepia, kind of a brown tone, okay? Now, I did that, and I did the zoom. And so here comes the UFO. We'll see it in just a minute moving from left to right. Do you see that? What did you see just happen? We were zoomed in as it flashed, and now it's flying away. Now, I'll just let this video run, and I'll describe what just happened. When it comes back up, you will see it again. And if you didn't notice, you will notice. When this UFO is traveling from left to right, there is a rectangle around it that is different from the scenery behind the UFO. You should be able to see it in this zoom, but you can really see it in the sepia. There's a rectangle around the UFO. And when it flashes, all of the light remains in that rectangle. Ergo, this is a hoax. Now, the sepia is coming up. And you notice in the sepia version, because we do an extreme zoom, and then we have the color contrasted. So you will see the rectangle, and you'll see when this flashes, all the light stays in that rectangle. That's because that's a video overlaid on a still shot. That's a tiny little video overlaid on a still shot. Now, it's not hard to do. It's not very good special effects, but that's what it is. And so you take a multi-track video editor and you put in the picture, the still picture. So there it is on one track. And then on the next track, you put in a picture of a light that's going to flash. Not a picture, but a video of a light that's going to flash. And what you do is you, in your video editor, reduce that down to a very, very small area. Well, it's on a square screen. It's on a rectangular screen. And so the rectangle reduces. That's why you saw the rectangle. And then what you do is you simply move it across that still picture and make it look like it's flying in and then flying away. So, in my opinion, that's a hoax. But there is another clue in all of this, another clue that tells us that this is not genuine. Do you see it? You're looking at it right now. Do you see the clue? It's in the lower right-hand corner, that writing down there. Now, you may be saying, well, I can't read that. That's too small, so let's zoom in on it. Here is what it says. www.nasa.gov. And the next line says W-FX23-08-2012. So the date that he is here, of course, is the 23rd of August, 2012. And this purports to be from NASA.gov. Maybe it was on the NASA website. I don't know. But you see that W-FX? In video, in the world of video editing and production, FX is shorthand for effects. So what is the W? Well, it could be for the word with effects, or it could be somebody's initial. I don't know. But it tells you right there on the label that this is with effects. And it's really not very good effects either. I mean, if you watch the video, it's not really all that good. Because when you zoom in on it, even before you zoom much, when it's still black and white, you can see the rectangle around the UFO. But whenever I go to sepia, you can really see it, and especially when this UFO flashes twice. But right here, we can see in this black and white, we can see the rectangle. Why is it that all the light in that flash stays in that rectangle? Because that's a separate video. That's why. So it's coming up in sepia one more time, and then we'll move on. But look, this thing, as far as I'm concerned, is manifestly a hoax. It is not reality. Look at that rectangle. Look at that. All the light stays within that rectangle because it is video sized small and then overlaid on the still shot, on the still picture. Okay, there will be people over the next few days who are going to rant and rave about how this UFO got caught by curiosity. Well, look, if it catches one, I'm going to rant and rave about it. But I'm going to check this stuff first to see if I can tell whether it's a hoax or not. And you should, too. I can tell this one's a hoax. Can't you? Those of you who are watching, couldn't you see that? Well, reality is reality. Okay, now I think that there is life on Mars. I'm pretty sure there is because NASA found it in 1976. But that doesn't mean that they're flying, that it's intelligent, that it's flying UFOs. It just means there's biology happening. And they found it in 1976 and then denied it after they admitted it. And they've spent all these years denying it. But they found it. So there's life on Mars. I would not be surprised if there's some intelligent life up there that perhaps has ability to fly machines. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And I'm going to be really excited when we can nail that down and say, there it is. If we can. But we have to go through these reality checks along the way. We will return right after this and we'll open the telephone lines. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. My sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour. and I hope you never encounter that tragedy again. We have been talking about, I have been talking about, the nature of reality and how important it is for our genre of looking at some of the strangest information that's out there and how we have to wade through all kinds of stuff to get to real information. And I've given you an example here. But now it's open line and it's BYOT. We'll talk about what's on your mind. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are in the USA or Canada, please use that number. If you're outside the USA or Canada, you may use that number or the flash message feature on our website. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I'm going to mention a couple of old programs. I mean, they're more than almost 15 years old.
Okay.
Because in these three-dimensional 3D programs, you can import a picture as a background. And in these programs, you can also create a spherical light and make that light do all kinds of effects. I see where you're coming from on the video editing, but I can create something very similar to this on my computer if my computer would render that long.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of ways to do it. The way this one was done, though, because of that rectangle, was to overlay a video that has been sized really small on top of a still picture. And, you know, there are other ways you can do it, and you could hide that fact a little better. That was not done very well.
I saw a picture on the internet, on Facebook, a couple days ago that someone was saying was orbs looking at or surrounding a cat, and I looked at that and I said, you know, I could create that exact same effect in those programs.
Yeah, but now I agree with you. But now here's one thing we have to be careful about, and that is just because I can create something that has the appearance of X doesn't mean X doesn't exist.
I know. That's what I approach these orbs, especially if they're clear, I approach them with caution. I say, all right, I could do this, but is that real? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to tell sometimes, and especially if somebody has real expertise, for instance, with Adobe Premiere or with Final Cut or Sony Vegas. If they've got real skills with that, they can do stuff that looks pretty doggone real. And
I know.
You know. But, you know, would it be possible, for instance, to superimpose my face on the head of a camel and have the camel walk up and have my head talk and deliver a message? Sure.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean...
It's a little extreme, but...
Yeah, but it doesn't mean I don't exist, and it doesn't mean the camel doesn't exist. You know, there are camels, and there is me.
I would like to make one more statement before I hang up.
All right.
You can go to school and learn to believe just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go out in reality, if it doesn't fit... What you learn to believe doesn't work.
Well, belief, I get hammered for this every time I say it. I get hammered for it in the emails. But belief is a crutch for us to use until we know. That's all.
That's right.
And even, you know, I get it from religious people a lot, but even their own Bible says that same thing. In the New Testament. Belief is okay, but it's not knowledge, and it doesn't change anything.
Reality.
Yeah, it doesn't change anything.
All right.
All right, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Maybe you want to hammer me for saying what I just said. You can do so. You can try at 623-444-5889. Also, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature. And it's BYOT, so even if you don't want to talk about what I've been talking about, bring your own topic and we'll talk about it as long as it is within our genre. You know, obviously we're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about religious dogma. We're not going to talk about how to fix your car or, you know, how to build a solar panel. Yeah, we might talk about how to build a solar panel if you can tie it into futuristic science. You know, within our genre, anything you wish to talk about, we'll talk about. This thing about reality is very, very critical. We're living in a world, how many of you have written to me, and you have said to me, my God, it's like the whole world is going insane. Of course it is. They have bought that there are no absolutes, there is no actual reality, you create your own reality. And that's why politicians think you can spend more than you got. That's why people think that you can just believe anything you want to and be happy and hold hands and kumbaya and the world is going to be wonderful. But reality exists. It stands on its own two feet, stares you in the face every morning when you wake up. And it's staring you in the face while you're asleep and don't know it. Reality is the cosmos doing what the cosmos does, and by God, it does what it does. Now, you can believe or disbelieve. It makes no difference. It's still going to do what it does. The key is to know, first, what is it doing, and then if you can, discover how is it doing it, and if you can, why is it doing it? Reality is really important. The whole world of UFO investigation and the world of paranormal investigation has been infested with non-reality. If ghosts really exist, then they just really do, and that's it. You don't have to make up stories to get people to believe. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. And the caller is not there. Yep. Telephone's working, but the caller was not prepared to talk. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Leslie from Oregon.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for doing the show and the topic. It's just, it's wonderful to hear.
Why do you think it's wonderful to hear?
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. We love
sorry,
kids.
That's my daughter.
That's quite all right. I love kids.
The reason why is, you know, when I first, you know, a while back kind of, I can't say got into the field, but really, I guess, well, you know, I've been on there before, but anyways, you know, I started, you know, talking to people and doing research and stuff, and after a while, it just, it became overwhelming, seeing everything on there that it, I just can't explain. I mean, I don't have all the answers. Heck, I don't even know if I have any of the answers. But, you know, just after a while, after seeing all these things, and I just kind of shook my head, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It's difficult to explain. I'm just really glad that you're pointing things out that obviously, you know, kind of use common sense. And look, this is fake versus, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you have to do that. Look, let me tell you a real quick story. Really quick. When I was overseas, I was stationed at one point in a country that is absolutely overrun with criminals. I mean, it's the most criminal society I've ever been in. And everybody there, every house there has this big wall around it. And on top of the wall, there's sharp spikes and sharp pieces of metal, of glass embedded in the top of the wall. Every single house. Even the house I rented had that. And so I asked the landlord, why does every single house have this tall wall and then those spikes and broken glass on top? And you know what he said? He said, because we know each other.
Really?
That's what he said. Okay, so we as humans, we know each other, and we know there are people that are manure heads that are going to hoax things. There are people that are psychotic, that are going to hype things. There are people that have all kinds of agendas, some of them getting paychecks from the government to go in and give misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have to wade through that, and we have to look. Just to look at it doesn't mean that I buy it. It just means I got to look at it and determine, is this one real, is it not? And, you know, we have to wade through all that to get to the little nuggets of information that are in there. And they're there.
Mm-hmm.
They are there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I really love listening to your show. You know, you just, you present the information. You know, you might say, hey, this is what it looks like to me, but you say, I don't know if that's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you go through it, you know, you kind of investigate, and you say, make up your own mind. And
yeah.
I respect that. I think that's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Leslie.
Great. Well, thank you. You have a good evening.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, there you go. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And we would love to hear from you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tom in Ohio.
Hello, Tom.
I downloaded that video off the internet.
Yeah.
So I could blow it up even bigger and take a look.
Yeah.
And at the upper, you see the UFO come in, blink, go down. But if you wait and watch to the upper right of the mountain, it reappears and goes off the screen.
Okay. So I will play this. I don't know. You know, part of the problem here is I zoomed in, so we don't see the right side of the mountain. But I'll play it. We'll see if we see that. And then, if we don't see it, then after the show, I'll take a look at it. So what's your, estimation of it? Do you think it is genuine or a hoax?
Well, looking at the, it really shows itself off when leaving the, leaving out from the upper right of the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And it really looks like it was planted this way. It just blooms and then goes off.
So what's your estimation? Is this a hoax or is this real?
It's a hoax.
Yeah, I think
it's
got to
be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I at first it looks good to a point, but once that thing starts blinking, no, it's not right. So it really shows up when you look at the mountain peak, and just to the right of that, you'll see it go off diagonally off into the distance.
Okay.
And it's that motion in there that you really see it.
Well, I'll take a look at the full video, you know, just like right off of the I'll download it and take a look at it right off of YouTube after the show. I don't have that because I zoomed in, and when you zoom in, you lose the right side of the mountain, so we can't see it. But I'll check that out. But I'll tell you, the thing that's the telltale sign for me is when it, you know, it gets bright and then dim, and it gets bright and then dim. When it gets bright, all of the light stays in that rectangle. Light doesn't
yes,
do
it
that.
Does.
Yeah, light doesn't do that. So
you would expect it being in more of a circular, not a rectangle.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a hoax. Now, let me ask you this. This person that posted it, if you went and downloaded it, you probably read what the person said, that they downloaded it from NASA.gov and that it was only up there for a few minutes and then it was taken down. Okay, is it possible, let's assume that that statement is true, is it possible then that we had somebody at NASA that did this hoax, got it up on the website, and somebody discovered it and took it down? I mean, is that a possibility?
Well, you know, you could have a point there, but I think if the guy at NASA was doing it, they would have a lot better video editing equipment than what this is.
Well, you would think so, but look, their track record of airbrushing pictures, they're sloppy. Now, when it comes to, I mean, we can catch them faking pictures all the time. They're so sloppy with it. So I wouldn't put it past NASA, a NASA employee, to have done this, maybe as a joke, just to see what all of us out here would say about it. I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I wouldn't put it past them.
I guess all we could do is really speculate about that.
Yeah, but I'm not speculating.
I don't know. Either mm-hmm. than it doesn't look right.
Yeah, I'm not speculating very much at all when I say, as far as I'm concerned, that's a hoax. In fact, I'm not speculating.
I was really excited when I seen it, but then when you really started pointing it out, then it's, you know, it's not geez, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of this stuff out there, Tom. Lots of it. But the fact that there's a lot of this stuff out there certainly does not mean that there are no real UFOs out there. There are. There are real ones. All right, man.
Okay,
thanks
well,
for the call.
Yeah, yeah. You're having a very good show tonight, and I really enjoy listening to it.
All right.
In fact, I'm watching you right now.
Oh, great.
So have yourself great evening, and
all right.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, and if you're in the USA or Canada, please use that number. If you're outside of the USA, if you're outside of Canada, we want to hear from you too. So you can call that number, but it can be a little expensive, and we know that. So we have an additional feature on the website for those who are not in the USA or Canada. It's called a flash message. You go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture, you'll see a link that says flash message. Use that and communicate with me that way. Tell me what your question is, what your comment is, and I'll read it on the air, and we'll discuss it. We'll talk about it. We want to hear from you. But this whole thing, folks, about reality, I mean, look, I do get asked. I appear as a guest on other radio shows from time to time, and I get asked this question. It, you know, it's worded different each time, but here's the gist of it. You know, how can you do this for so many years, deal with all this strange information for so many years, and yet stay so grounded? Well, it's not difficult. It's real easy. And anybody can do it. It works like this. I do not believe. I don't believe this stuff is true, and I don't believe it's false. I either know what I'm looking at is true, or I know it's false, or I'm willing to say, you know what, I don't know. I don't make a decision on which way to go. I don't know. This one goes in the gray basket. We'll see how it turns out. And you can stay grounded that way because you're not believing, and that's so important. It's so important. I don't want to harp on that too much, but see, that's the problem with the world. And it flows right over into our genre. People think, well, they don't think anymore. They feel and they believe. Even in opinion polls, you're no longer asked what you think. You're asked a question, do you feel that President Obama is doing a good job or not? Do you believe Mitt Romney would be a better president than Obama or not? Okay, so when they do the opinion polls, they don't even ask you what you think anymore. Because they know they've programmed you not to think. They ask you what you feel and what you believe. And none of that is connected to reality. Happens in this genre. You know, I've got a video. We've had it on the site for... I think I rode in on a dinosaur the day we did that. It's been here forever. It's called Flatulent Minds Want to Know. And I did this video when I was in East Timor, and I was seated on the balcony of my home in the jungle. And I just turned on the camera and talked. And I talked about this idea where people ask, do you believe in UFOs? And in the video I say, and you've heard me say it here on the air, that's the stupidest question you can ask. What do you mean, do you believe in UFOs? I mean, they either exist or they don't. There's not anything to believe. Do you believe in this pen? This pen I'm holding up, do you believe in this pen? What is there to believe? Either that's really there or it really isn't. You've heard me so many times say, well, you believe in doorknobs? Do you believe in Volkswagens? You believe in beer cans? There's nothing to believe. They exist. UFOs, same thing. They either exist or they don't. It's that simple. They either exist or they don't. There's nothing to believe. Now, what evidence is there that they do exist? Tons. Tons of good, solid, hard evidence. Evidence like... talk about when we come back from this break. We'll be back right after this.
Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'll wrap up what I was talking about, evidence. Look, a lot of people have a lot of bad things to say about Project Blue Book. A lot of people in the UFO genre have a lot of bad things to say about Project Blue Book. The debunkers use it and throw it in our faces and say things like, well, they determined that, you know, almost all of these reports, they were able to identify exactly what they were. There was no flying saucers. That's not true. That's a lie. That last little part was the lie. they did determine almost all of the reports that they investigated, so-called, could be explained. But the reports from the best trained observers had the most detail, and those they could not explain away. The best trained observers, military pilots who chased these things or who had one flying off of their wingtip. So the best evidence they had, the best, most credible reports they had, they couldn't explain them away, and they said so. That is an admission that there are unknowns we could not identify. That is an unidentified flying object, folks. That is a UFO. There are radar tracks. There are miles of footage from military gun cameras where they were chasing a UFO. Do they exist? That's a dead question. Stick a fork in it, it's done. That's stupid. But flatulent minds want to know, do you believe? No, I don't. I know they exist. I know they do. Now, I don't know who's flying them. I don't know what they want. I don't know how they're propelled. There are a lot of things I don't know. I don't know where they're from. But do they exist? Abso-freaking-lutely. Does this pen exist? Well, here it is. Yes, it exists. Light hits it, and the camera is showing you the reflection of that light for those who are watching. Now, if I was hallucinating, if I was just holding my hand up and saying, does this pen exist, and I hallucinate, the camera cannot photograph, it cannot capture my hallucination. It can't see what my mind is seeing. But if it reflects light, it's there. So when you see it on video and you see it on film, it's there, unless it's been hoaxed. And that's what we have to wade through. That's what we have to use our minds for. That's where we have to pay attention to detail, to wade through all that crap that's getting thrown out there. But do they exist? Yeah. Absolutely they exist. That's part of reality. It has nothing to do with what you believe. You can believe they don't, and they're still right there on those films. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. I'm going to change the subject a little bit.
Let's change it.
Okay. A couple of days ago, you had Dr. Roger Lehr on, and
yeah.
I questioned him about copper not being copper, if you recall. And he explained about isotopes, and I did some research on isotopes, and I understand that there's various elements that have a bunch of different isotopes, such as carbon. But my question to you is, he said that this substance was from not actually copper, but I forget exactly what he was talking about, but he said it was like 30 light years away.
Yeah, 30 million light years.
Yes, 30 million.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, how could you put a time limit or a distance limit on it?
It was determined, I cannot remember the guy's name, he told us, the nuclear physicist who did this work. It was determined by a nuclear physicist who first determined the isotopic ratio was extraterrestrial. It's not the isotopic ratio you find here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'm never really clear on how this works, but the rate of the decay of, what is it, carbon-14?
Mm-hmm.
anyway, the, no, boron. He told us boron. The rate of the decay tells you how old it is, and how they're using that to determine some way, you know, the distance that it would have had to have come.
Okay, I kind of missed that, but I understand with the rate of decay, you could put a time limit on, and then with the speed of light, you could determine how far.
Yeah. Well, I guess. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. That's something I have not really studied, and so I really don't know how that works in detail, but that's sort of generally what he was telling us.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand either, but in theory I understand. I know,
yeah,
even with carbon-14 dating, it's open to some plus or minus, and you know, as far,
yeah,
as let me think if I could remember what else I was gonna say. I would really love to prove your theory of the speed of dark wrong. And it really bothers me that I can't I can't come up with a good theory of why it's wrong. And I also would like to prove Gordon Giovanni Noto's theory of gravity being a push is right. If those two things could be proved, I'd be happy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I cannot prove that my theory about the speed of dark is true, except theoretically. And theoretically, if you can go faster than light, then you have outrun light. In the absence of light, you have dark. Therefore, the speed of dark is beyond the speed of light. If you slow down to light speed or below, then you have light. Have dark.
What my premise is that dark is a void, and it's the absence of light. And it's dark and void is nothing. And when you enter light, which is energy, it fills that void. It's not that the dark is outrunning it. It's there's nothing, and then you're injecting energy, light energy, and that's filling the void.
Well, what happens when you turn on a light is you have slowed electrons down by making them go through either gas or an element. And it's slowing them down that causes the light.
But still the light is radiation traveling into a void.
But it's not a void. Space is not a void. Space is absolutely full. And about 80% of the matter that's out there is dark matter. And by the way, the universe is expanding. And it's expanding faster than the speed of light. That is something that astronomers and physicists have pretty much agreed on. If it were not expanding faster than the speed of light, we should be able to detect energy reflections off the edge of the universe. But there's no light reflecting off of the edge of the universe because the dark is expanding faster than light.
Boy, it's really mind-boggling, you know, those theories. I think your guest last night, Mr. Sarita,
uh-huh,
yeah, he mentioned about faster and light. I think it was consciousness, or
mm-hmm,
and I was going to question that, and I never got around to it.
Well, let me tell you what, I have physicists tell me all the time that there's absolutely nothing faster than the speed of light, and I use two things to in my conversations with them. I do talk to a number of physicists. Within a 6-month period, I will have talked to 3 or 4 physicists, and because I'm checking things out, you know, and investigating things, and I get opinions on things, and they'll tell you there's no speed faster than the speed of light. But here you go. Then how do you explain this pulsar that astrophysicists and astronomers discovered that's undergoing magnetic polar shift at 6 times the speed of light?
Well, you know, there's really no understanding, and I think if you do it, when once you understand something, then it just opens up more questions.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know about E equals MC squared.
Yes.
Now, you've heard me use that, and you've heard me, and I've heard rebuttals where they say, well, the C squared is just a scaling factor. All right, hang on just a minute. Let's just see. E stands for energy. Are we talking about real energy? Yes. Energy equals mass times C squared, which is the speed of light squared. Well, they tell me it's just a scaling factor. So you mean that's just theoretical? Well, yeah, sort of. That's how the conversation goes. Okay. You cannot get real product out of fictional crap. You don't get real energy. If you could, then I could do it this way. Jerome, I could say E equals M, which is mass, times quadrupotal. I just make up something imaginary. Would you get real energy out of that? No. The only way you get the real energy is mass times the speed of light squared, which is the speed of light times the speed of light. You don't get energy out of a fictional scaling factor. If the formula is fictional, there is no real energy produced. Real energy comes from a real process. And if that E equals MC squared, if that's correct, then that real process requires speeds of 186,000 miles per second times 186,000 miles per second.
I always thought that was just a mathematical concept, but the energy obviously from, as in the atomic bomb, the energy is real.
Yeah. You don't get real energy from a fictional equation.
So then the speed of light is not the fastest thing.
No, I think it's one of the slowest speeds in the universe.
Oh, that's good. I like that statement.
Yeah, and consciousness is much faster than the speed of light. Gravity waves are faster than light. You know, there's a guy by the name of Greg Hodowodnik, I think is how you say his name, who developed gravity communications devices. And gravity communication device has no delay. It's instantaneous. We have to take a break. I'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back.
Okay.
All right, thanks. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach, ladies and gentlemen. That means we just have a few minutes left in tonight's show. This whole thing about, it's considered one of the laws of physics. It's a law that there is no speed faster than the speed of light. No particle can move faster than the speed of light. Nothing can move faster than the speed of light. But the universe is expanding faster than the speed of light. That's fairly measurable. And then we also have the fact that if this equation is true, that E equals MC squared. The C squared, I've had a lot of people try to say, oh, no, that's just a ratio. That's a, you know, it's a scaling factor and all that. But you don't get real energy from fictional, imaginary stuff. It doesn't happen. So if that equation is true, if it's true that E equals MC squared, then you must, if you get real energy out of it, then you have to have real mass, and you really must have the speed of light squared. That's the speed of light times the speed of light. Or you don't get real energy. If that is just a scaling factor, there's no way. Look, there is no way to turn that mass into energy if that equation is true and you can't go faster than the speed of light. There's no way to turn it into energy. If the energy is real, then the MC squared has to be real. Otherwise, I could say E equals blossoms times buttermilk. And we could just say that's where you get energy. E equals blossoms times buttermilk. Fiction. You don't get real energy out of that. Fiction. Energy is real. Therefore, if that equation is real, the rest of it has, if that's true, then the rest of it has to be real. It has to be real. Now, is it possible that the equation is wrong? Oh, my. This is going to send earthquakes under science when I say this. And the pontificating PhDs are going to talk about me. Look, is it possible that that equation is not correct? Yeah, that's possible. But if it is correct, if that is an accurate equation, the speed of light is not the speed limit of the universe. Well, it might be one speed. It might be, look, you get on an interstate and lots of places post a minimum speed, usually 45 miles an hour. And if you're not going to go 45 miles an hour or faster, you have to get off of the interstate freeway. For those of you in Germany, it's the Autobahn. So sometimes they post a minimum speed. Well, the speed of light might be the minimum speed of the universe, but it's certainly not the upper level speed limit. It can't be. That's not real. Just a little bit of critical thinking will tell you that there are speeds faster than the speed of light. And we, you know, that's, somebody might say, well, that's just your kooky theory. Well, then please explain the pulsar. That I'll find this. I will find the name of the pulsar and tell you. I just don't remember it at this moment because I hadn't planned on talking about it. But just please explain this pulsar that's undergoing pole shift at 6 times the speed of light. That's been established. It's been observed. It's been measured. It's undergoing pole shift at 6 times the speed of light. How does it do that if there is no speed faster than the speed of light? Of course there are speeds faster than the speed of light. The speed of dark. Jerome, I appreciate your call. Now, folks, as we wind down, I'm going to leave you with another mystery. And I will leave it to you to determine whether you think this is real or not. But what we've got here is a video of a creature that was killed in Namibia. That's in Africa. And I have friends in Namibia, as a matter of fact. And this strange-looking creature that's in this video, and this video is at YouTube, this strange-looking creature is about 3 to 4 feet tall. It's a male. It has human features, but it also looks like a cross between a bear, a pig, and a human. It's got human-like ears and human-like arms and almost human-like hands. Its facial features are not exactly human, but there are some things about it that seem like it sort of resembles human. Its hands are not formed in exactly the same way as a human hand, but it does have human-looking fingers. So what do you think? Is this real or not? That's on YouTube. Do a little bit of attention to detail and see what you come up with. See if you decide that you think it's real. Those of you who are listening, you can go to YouTube and do a search for alien creature killed in Namibia or alien creature captured in Namibia. They say that they shot this and killed it. And so what do you think? What do you think? Now, as far as what is it, if you decide this is real, you still don't know what it is. Okay? I have no idea what this thing is. But is it real? You don't have to be an expert at photography, an expert at video, to determine whether you think this is real or whether you think this is hoaxed. With basic skills of observation and paying attention to detail, you should be able to tell whether this is a hoax or whether this is real. Do I have an opinion about it? Yeah, I do. What is it? I'm not going to tell you. This is your homework. This is your homework, and we'll see what you come up with here. But, yeah, I have an opinion about it. I've looked at it very closely. It's fascinating, but is it real or is it a hoax? The clues are right there before your eyes. Pay attention to detail. That's something my dad, who was a Marine, used to tell me a lot. Son, you got to pay attention to detail. I understand that a lot of Marines say that, attention to detail. Well, it's pretty good advice, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this evening. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. Some of you may have been real ticked off. Sorry about that. Not much, but I am sorry about it a little bit. You know, the purpose was to help us sort of reorient and reattach to reality. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.